Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. We've got a kind of interesting show this evening, a current events show here on Friday evening. I've got Big Daryl with me. Big Daryl, how are you this evening? Are you there, sir?
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, that was better. Yeah. Hello?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, you were muted?
I accidentally hit a button there, and it did something weird with my phone. So, you know, it's all this high technology we've got these days.
It gets confusing after a while.
It does. It really does. I mean, I've got a phone that does all kinds of stuff, and I can't figure out how to do half of it. You know, I'll play along.
First clip of the evening is this Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, and he's going to talk about the current administration and how it's been performing, and I'd like to get your input after this clip.
The bottom line on this is Russia has a real leader. May not like him, and I don't, but he is brilliant and ruthless. He has clear goals, and he moves straight toward those goals. The West lacks a leader. Like it or not, the President of the United States is the de facto leader of the West, and our President just is incapable and unwilling to lead. The weakness is phenomenal. Now, you know, we are not as weaker than we were in the Carter years. I was in that military. It was pathetic. Our military today is the best in the world, best in our history, although Obama wants to dismantle it. We're also immensely wealthier than the Carter years. The problem is that as a president, Obama is far weaker than Carter, and he's probably the worst president we've ever had. He is a man who is incapable of making a hard decision. And by the way, one other key point, Vladimir Putin believes in Russia. He believes in Russia's destiny, its mission. Obama does not believe in American exceptionalism. He does not
John,
believe
I, hang on,
in
no,
this
no,
country.
Hang on. Come that on. Is a powerful commentary. KT gets the last word.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right.
Daryl, in light of this whole Ebola thing, what are your thoughts on that clip?
You know, you can't do anything but just step back and agree with him. I mean, the man, how much more on point can you get? Putin, like him, dislike him, and I'm not crazy about him, because he's trying to resurrect the old Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And which is not a good thing if he does it. But it's like he said, if you go back and look, when did a lot of our problems start? It's when President Obama went around on the apology tour.
Yes.
Going around to all these countries, oh, we're so sorry we stepped on your head. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Some of these countries needed to be stepped on because they were attacking our countries that were allies of us, so on and so forth. And up and through today, you can just go example after example after example. And the other thing that has gotten absolutely old is President Obama blaming everybody else for everything that goes wrong.
Well, give me an example of that.
What, of him blaming?
Yeah. If you have
it's
one.
Like, well, it's like when the economy went south. Oh, well, it's George Bush's fault. Well, let's step back and take a look at that for a minute real quick. Democrats controlled Congress for the last 2 years of George Bush's second term, and they controlled Congress for the first 2 years of the Obama administration. And everybody wants to throw out to the president, and people want to quit looking at Congress. And that's where all of our laws and regulations come from. And Congress, essentially a Democratic-controlled, majority-controlled, did absolutely nothing. You know, and suddenly, somebody still explained to me where TARP had to come in. I still ain't figured that one out yet. But during that whole time, oh, it was Bush's fault, Bush's fault. Well, folks, I hate to tell everybody, I remember when it was supposedly Bush's fault, when everybody's 401ks were fat, when their stocks were doing good, when the stock market kept going up under Bush. Nobody seemed to be blaming him then. You know, and it's just every time something went wrong for the first 4 years, it was Bush's fault. Now it's whoever he decides to flavor of the day. Recently he's thrown the Democrats under the bus because they won't, you know, push harder for his agenda.
I've heard that Obama's been real up on his golf game, though. I think he plays golf more than any other president we've had.
And have you noticed since the second term, we haven't been hearing any correlation about how much golf Bush played?
No, nobody can compare.
No. And furthermore, we've quit hearing how much Bush and Clinton used Air Force One. Let's see, what else have we quit hearing about? You know?
Right. Well, okay. Let me switch gears. I'm going to switch gears to a more serious topic. Let's listen to a clip on Ebola.
In the meantime,
okay,
in the United States, a third Ebola sufferer has been transferred to a secure biocontainment unit. The home of the 29-year-old nurse in Dallas has been decontaminated, but one detail was overlooked. For example, the video I should show you in just a moment of her. The nurse being loaded onto the plane there, but as you can see, this plain clothed man there is walking alongside with no protective gear whatsoever. He's even handed something that looks like a clipboard there from one of the medical workers. And as our U.S. correspondent Marina Portnaya reports, panic is spreading.
Following three confirmed cases of Ebola infection and one unfortunate death, U.S. officials continue to insist they have the deadly virus contained and under control. But for many Americans, Washington's reassurance isn't enough. Online sales of Ebola survival kits, including face masks, boiler suits, and safety goggles, have soared amid fears of a domestic outbreak. On Amazon.com, a pack of 10 face masks tells customers the product is recommended by the World Health Organization for protection against Ebola. But while businesses are cashing in on a panicked public, anxious consumers are likely to be wasting their money. Medical experts have repeatedly stated that Ebola is not airborne, which means face masks serve no protective purpose.
Okay, let's stop it there because I'm starting to hear now that this Ebola might be airborne. What are your thoughts?
After having been in a paramedic firefighter and having dealt with a lot of things, it may not be an airborne virus,
mm-hmm.
but people, you know, they're spittle, they're sweat. These things can actually come off the body and go through the air.
Mm.
All right. And it's like what they pointed out there. I mean, you know, Mark, you and I have talked about this. Are we trying to tell people that these folks from the CDC and the medical community have suddenly lost their minds, have become totally inept? I mean, you've got, okay, when they were transferring the nurse, you saw the video of that. You've got four people in a hazmat suit. You've got her in a self-contained bio suit. But yet, here's this guy. He's supposed to be a supervisor who's making sure everybody else does their job right.
Yeah. And he has
But we can't figure out why people are still getting infected.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And
the nurse,
Aren't they letting people literally fly into the country with the virus?
Yes, and that's the other thing. I've been reading on this. Congress, both sides of Congress agree that we should stop air travel from the infected parts of the country or world and neighboring countries. We should stop air travel. but they won't do it. Things that make you go, what? They agree on it, but because of political correctness, oh, well, we can't do that because if we did that, then people would try to sneak around and they would come into the country anyway, but we just wouldn't know about it. Well, you're not doing a very good job stopping it now. And the other fact is that, yeah, some people might, but you're going to cut down on the majority. But here's my question, Mark. Am I an oddity when I say, if I thought for 1 second I had Ebola, I would not go near a plane, a train, a bus, a cab. I would not want to walk down a crowded street. I would not, and I would especially not want to go to my family.
Right.
Now, I mean, you know, it's like this guy Duncan. Oh, well, I had to see my family when I found out I had Ebola. I had to get back to my family. Okay, yeah, let's go back to your loved ones and give them something that can potentially kill them.
Exactly.
Somebody explain it to me.
See, I don't think the public can think for themselves anymore, most people. So people like you and I are very unusual. Because we can.
Oh, yeah, we're called hypocrites, we're called radicals, we're called, you know, racist, sexist, homophobe, xenophobe, because we actually disagree with things.
Exactly. We have an opinion.
Yeah, This is something that I try to portray every day is let's look at the hypocrisy of this. Because stop and think about this. These are the same people running this, you know, the CDC and the government have written manuals on what to do in various emergency situations. And they're very extensive. And they're given out to fire departments and police departments all over the country, military, government agencies. These even have, you know, people think I'm joking, but they actually have a listing for first contact.
Really?
What to do if we get a call and it's a first contact situation. But now suddenly Ebola shows up and we can't seem to figure out what in the hell to do. Notice nobody's brought up Katrina and the inept FEMA director that we had at that time.
What you
see, that's another. This is another problem that I have, Mark, is history did not start a year before I was born. That's and right. I actually happen to remember a lot of the stuff. But the fact is, this is what's got people scared, is people that are supposedly been telling us for years that we're in charge, we've got it, we know what's going on, this is our field of study, suddenly can't find the kitchen drawer to get a fork. Throw me the ball, coach. I mean, it really is, and I agree with you. It's people are confused. They don't know. I mean, okay, what was the comment the guy from the CDC made the other day? You can take Ebola on a bus, but you can't catch it on a bus. Huh?
Yeah, very strange.
Did you hear about the guy? And here's something else that's driving people nuts. Why would you pretend to have Ebola to scare people? To make yourself look tough? Like the guy who went up to the protesters, he didn't like the fact that they were protesting against socialized medicine.
Yeah.
So he gets out of his car, says, "I've got Ebola," and then tries to lick him.
Oh, sick. That's a new one on
me. And then got mad because somebody punched him.
Right.
You know, what is going through these people's mind? Oh, tell them I got Ebola. They'll run like hell and go away, and I win. I don't know. I don't understand it. Things that make you go, dear God.
Speaking of dear God and hypocrisy and the people in charge, I'm going to play a clip of my favorite television evangelist because he's the richest and he's actually kind of entertaining.
He's not the little guy that runs the Crystal Cathedral, is it?
No. But I think you'll know who this guy is. I'll play a little bit more of this clip, then you'll.
Okay, go ahead.
So.
Every year, televangelists attract more than believers. They draw hundreds of millions of dollars from all around the world. All of it is tax exempt, but should it be? Senator Charles Grassley is investigating six top TV preachers. And tonight, our chief investigative correspondent, Armin Katayan, has a hard look at one of them, Kenneth Copeland, the so-called godfather of prosperity gospel.
To live in the Garden of Eden, hallelujah!
In one TV sermon after another,
somebody shout amen!
Kenneth Copeland and wife Gloria implore viewers to sow the seeds of their faith by following God's word and donating dollars, promising a hundredfold return in happiness and wealth.
It's a bottom-line business.
This former ministry employee who feared being identified answered hundreds of prayer requests a day, most sent in with donations, before quitting, feeling betrayed by Copeland's gospel of prosperity.
I receive it!
He is the recipient of the prosperity message.
So when he's preaching health and wealth,
he's filling that bottom line on his business.
That's why Senate investigators are digging into whether ministry resources are being diverted into an array of for-profit companies tied to the Copelands. Cattle, horses, aviation, real estate development, and gas and oil wells, to name but a few. Michael Hoover, who worked for the Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 5 years, quit in 2005 over disagreements with the church. He is one of three former employees who told CBS News they witnessed other employees doing work on behalf of for-profit businesses tied to the Copeland family.
I believe that they were using a lot of the ministry's assets for personal businesses.
The nonprofit activity and the for-profit activity are so intertwined that you can't separate them.
A two-month CBS News investigation, including interviews with nearly a dozen former Copeland employees, raises serious questions about the Copelands' religious empire. Beginning with this lavish lakefront home, all 18,000 square feet of it, and a fleet of private planes, all paid for by the ministry.
The Lord spoke to me and said, "You believe for a citation 10 right now."
Copeland got what he wanted. That's the $20 million jet right there parked at the ministry-owned airport, one of four planes owned by the church.
It will never ever be used for anything other than what is becoming to you, Lord Jesus.
But that's not.
Okay, Daryl, let me get your comments. He's got an 18,000 square foot home, a citation, $10, $20 million Learjet, and three other planes as well. What are your comments on Kenneth Copeland? I'm glad you're laughing.
You know, I have a very strong belief in God, and I know a lot of ministers, and they have to go work. They have to have a job during the week, and then they have the church, their church on Sundays.
Yeah.
And when Copeland... come on, he's used the money from his church to fund businesses, and I can guarantee you the church might be getting some of the money from those businesses, you know, tithings.
Yeah.
But he's going to get, he's getting the lion's share of it. Now, let's go back in history. Remember how shocked everybody was when Jim and Tammy Faye's story broke?
Oh, yeah. What was that? Tell us about that again.
Well, Jim and Tammy Faye had this huge ministry. And Tammy Faye had a two-story doghouse built with air conditioning for her dogs.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea, they had some kind of incredibly big home.
Yeah.
And what it was is that, and probably would still be going on today, but Jim couldn't keep his hands to himself. Let's put it nicely.
Okay.
So then they were investigated. And come to find out, there was a lot of the money that was coming into the church going into their pockets.
Yeah. No surprise there.
When you get into the Crystal Cathedral.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
All right. I'm trying to think what the minister's name is.
The guy with the white hair. The white
hair. Yeah, they Crystal Cathedral. Did you know that people pay $5,000 a year for front row seats?
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
And at first people were saying, oh, no, it was just they paid for that seat to be put in. Are you kidding me? $5,000 for a seat to be put in a row? But no, people actually, there's X number of rows that people actually pay because they can be closer to him.
The pastor.
Yeah.
The holy guy.
And these churches are getting absolutely out of hand. A friend of mine, Bill Vellant from BNNS Radio, he tells the story of a church who in one breath talked about they were spending $50 million to expand the church.
Wow.
But then turned around and, oh, look, we're helping the needy over somewhere. We're sending them $10,000. What's wrong with this picture, folks?
Right.
You know?
It's horrible.
The money, you know, how do these people... Well, I can understand how the ministers and their wives justify it.
Right.
But how do people justify going to a church like this when the pastor of the church is making millions of dollars a year and looking at you and saying, but God wants you to give big. And they write the checks.
They write the checks.
Show me where they've sent millions of dollars worth of food to hungry people somewhere in the world. They don't. It's not millions. It's tens of thousands. But yet they can build on this whole new gymnasium so that people can play basketball in the name of God.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? This stuff has been going on every year. What was it, the PTL club? Look at all the crud they went through. They got busted for.
Well, do you remember any of the details?
Not exactly, but I do remember that one of the things that shocked me was even after they got busted for so much mishandling of funds and people getting, you know, exorbitant salaries, people were still writing checks to them.
Wow.
I mean, I've worked with a guy that actually wrote a $5,000 check to the PTL club every year.
Now, what was PTL? What did that stand for? Pay to the Lord?
Probably. I don't know. I just remember it was called the PTL club.
PTL club.
Yeah, right. And it was on TV and everything else at one time. But, you know, we've had religious leaders in this country. There's only actually been a couple that take the majority of the money. And I'm just had a complete loss of memory here. Help me out. The old guy.
Oh, Billy Graham?
Huh?
Not Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
Okay, okay.
Now, Billy still makes quite a bit of money,
yeah,
but nowhere near what Copeland makes.
Oh, no, nothing even close, no.
You know, and Billy Graham is still out there.
Yeah.
At least he's one of the more honorable ones.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you run across these churches where the majority of their money goes to actually helping people, to feeding hungry people, to getting people clothes that need them, and the minister is working a job to pay to raise his family, those are the churches that people should investigate if they're looking to go to a church. But when you go to these mega churches, and I've been in them, it's a social meeting. It's not a church. Look at the diamonds and the jewelry and the clothing that these people wear. And if you don't put in it, you know, if you don't hit some cash in that collection plate, they're looking at you sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, in the movie, if you want to see what religion should be, in the movie The Knowing with Nicolas Cage, the world's coming to an end. He calls his dad, who's a minister, and tells him, "Dad, believe me, trust me, you've got to run, hide." And Dad says, "Son, if it's my time, it's my time." In the original War of the Worlds, the town minister, the little small town, the minister says, "Before we start killing things, why don't we try to communicate?" And he walks out there. Is he scared? Yes, he is, but he's got his faith. And he goes out and he confronts the aliens. Now, he dies, but he dies in the belief that he is doing the right thing. You know?
Absolutely.
And I can guarantee you, if the world come to an end tomorrow, these clowns are leaving. They're going to stand on the stage and go, "Remember, God loves you, but y'all on your own. See you later. Bye."
Yeah. Well, I've got another interesting character. Speaking of God, here's a physicist. His name is Richard Seed, and he's what's called a transhumanist, one of these people that wants to merge with machines. And some of these people think they will become God.
That's a scary thought, you know?
And, by the way, it's not nice people that run it. It's an artificial system like fractional reserve banking and derivatives and high-frequency trading meant to scam you and in the free market as we know it, and create a monopoly. One system, one unified, hellish collective with engineered food, water, everything. I mean, it's just a whole new world. The globalists want to be God. They want to control the universe. Human cloning researcher Richard Seed, he says, "When the shift hits the fan, I will be God." And that's what Ray Kurzweil, all of them say. "We're doing this. You're not going to stop us, and we're basically, you're going to become one of us if we even let you, or we'll sit on you like a bug." Here he is saying, "I will be God. I will be God."
"We're going to become gods. Period. If you don't like it, get off. You don't have to contribute. You don't have to participate. But if you're going to interfere with me becoming God, you're going to have big trouble. And we'll have warfare."
I mean, this is who these people are. "You interfere with me becoming God, you're going to have big problems. You're going to have warfare." You know, people on like Major General Stubblebine, former head of Special Forces and you name it. And he's like, "No, the elite are obsessed with life extension." Of course they are. And they believe they've got to build this to get it. And the point is, we aren't in the equation to get the resources. You're not going to get the life extension. Look at Obamacare. You're going to get a cane instead of a knee surgery. Yeah, you get free health care. Here's some glasses. You don't get eye surgery. This is you pay more for less. You pay more and live in a 200-square-foot coffin apartment. They can take 99% of what you get and let you live in a shoebox. You see how that works? And that's progressive. That's trendy. That's good for the earth. While the globalists are killing the earth, bringing in this tyranny.
Daryl, the world's gone insane. The global elite are insane. Some of them are talking about merging with God or becoming God. Have you ever heard this before?
Yeah. A lot of people through history have believed the exact same thing. And I'm one of those people. You can hook yourself up to machines and all you want, and it's still not going to be any smarter than the person that's hooking up. I mean, let's face it. You know, people like this, you can laugh at them because they, you know, let them sit in their little back rooms and invent stuff. Because at the end of the day, I believe that at some point man will merge with computers. But if you think about this, if you build a computer to make you smarter, eventually it's going to figure out it doesn't need you.
It's interesting that you say that. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bill Joy, the owner of Sun Microsystems. He has written that he went to a meeting of the 200 top technology owners, and they made the decision at that meeting that they would not let humanity live. These global elites say they're going to phase out humanity as we know it, and human beings will merge with machines. And Bill wrote this book, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, in which he expressed deep concern over the development of modern technologies, and he's saying that robotics and nanotech are threatening to make humans an endangered species. What do you think of that?
Well, it's very possible that we could create machines, but I personally am not going to see it in my lifetime. When, you know, we're not going to see Terminators walking up the street anytime soon. Now, do they have military robots? Yeah, they do. But, you know, we're getting in now to quantum computers that no longer, they don't look at one or zero. They now calculate one and zero at the same time. Don't ask me how. I can read it. I can make sense of it, but don't ask me to explain it. We're now getting into that generation of computers. We're getting into biometrics where they can actually, they're working on like mechanical hands for amputees that they hook into the nervous system, and you can actually learn to work the hand again like you do a real hand. Now, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about, and for two decades, they've been talking about being able to merge somebody's mental patterns onto a computer. These things are, this is stuff they've been working on for years. But I really don't see where they're going to accomplish this godlike state. Because, I may be wrong, but I don't see where they get this, I'm going to be a god.
I know.
No, you're not. You're just going to be a guy who can think faster than I can.
I got another clip.
You're still going to be a moron. So, you know.
I got these are kind of interesting. We'll play a little bit of these clips, too. This one may have a little quiet here at the beginning. These transhumanism clips are very interesting to me.
You know, before you play that clip, though.
You know, when I became president in January of 1999.
Go ahead.
Did you I was going to say, transhumans, futurists, they paint this wonderful picture in some cases. But it all comes down to one thing. We as a human race either need to cow down to them or die in order to make it work.
You got a point there.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want the free thinkers. They don't want the people who are as intelligent as they are. They want the cowards. They want the people who will kiss your boot to get a sandwich.
And unfortunately,
and it's not about making people better. It's not about making people happier. It's about I'm in charge.
It's about control.
And we can talk about that.
You know, when I became president in January of 1993, back in the dark ages, the average cell phone weighed 5 pounds. And there were 50 sites on the entire World Wide Web. 5-0. There have been more added than that since I've been talking.
God made man in his own image. God intended for man to become one with God. We are going to become one with God. Cloning and the reprogramming of DNA is the first serious step in becoming one with God.
This issue is going to dominate our global politics. This is the issue that will color the century. As we merge with machines, and I think it's inevitable that we will transform into something new.
Evolution is a spiritual process that moves us closer to the ideal of God. I mean, what is God? God is described as being unlimited in intelligence, creativity, love, beauty.
More computing capacity in a little grain of sugar when it's nanotech, you know, one bit per atom and flipping back and forth in femtoseconds. There's more computing capacity in that grain of sand than our human brain by a factor of, I don't know, billions of things. So these machines, if we, humanity, if we decide to build them, we're building God.
We humans are going to start linking with each other and become this meta-intelligence. And we will eventually become an interconnection of the entire human race. And we will become godlike once you plug into that global network and you know the thoughts and feelings of millions or billions of people. To unplug yourself and be so lonely.
Anyway, Daryl, we're heading for a very strange world. Are you ready for all this? I don't think I am.
What do you mean headed for?
Yeah, we're in it. We're in it.
Look at it now. They talk about this interconnected, and if you can't be a part of it, you're so lonely.
Yeah.
Okay. Two things about that. Number one, we're not headed there. We're in the beginning stages of it now. How many times do you walk around Walmart or just see people walking across the parking lot? How many people have you almost hit because they walk out in front of you? Because they're texting.
They're looking at their cell.
Or they walk through the store and they're shopping and they have a phone to their ear.
Yep.
And we've now created laws to stop people from doing this while they're driving, and it's just gotten worse.
Yeah.
And if you look at technology, look at Windows 8. Windows 8 was designed to look like your phone, like your tablet, so that everything is exactly the same. So no matter what device you pick up, you're still connecting. And if the cell phone systems were to go down tomorrow. Night of the Living Dead would come to life because you would see so many people walking around holding a cell phone up in the air trying to find the signal.
Hmm.
Just go, I mean, it's incredible. This is not something that's coming. It's here now, folks. Look around you. I went to a county commission meeting. People are there to find out what's going on in their community. And half of the people were sitting there on cell phones texting. And if you stopped the meeting and asked them, what did we just talk about? Most of them couldn't tell you. So why did you go to the county commission meeting to start with? Look at how much information we now get. How many times... Well, what's your home phone number? What's your cell phone number? What's your email address? I don't want to get an email on this. Well, we have to have an email address. No, you don't. You know, and it. But these people, then they talk about, oh, everybody will be interconnected and we'll all be so much smarter and everything. But think about this. What happens to almost every great idea with our current mentality? There's always somebody out there who thinks, I need to control this.
Sure, they slap a top secret on it, and then we never see it in the public if it's worth anything.
Well, not even that. They say, we have to control this. And so now you've got billions of people interconnected, and now somebody runs a program in and... suddenly, everybody's doing what one person decides. I'll tell you what, if you want to see how scary this stuff can actually get, there's an old series of movies out, and it was a television show called Tech War. It was written by William Shatner. And William Shatner saw this coming decades ago. Check it out. Go to YouTube or go on to Netflix or Hulu and find Tech War, T-E-K-W-A-R, and watch a couple of those. Find out how far this can go. And we're right around the corner because, what is it, Google has now said that within the next 5 years, we're not going to be talking about megabyte downloads. We're going to be talking gigabyte downloads.
That's incredible. Let me play.
They say
bit.
Within the next 5 years, you're going to start seeing downloads increase. You remember, you're old enough, Mark. You remember years ago when we went through 286, and then we went 386, right. And then 486, and then we went 486, 25 megahertz, 33 megahertz, you know, like that, for computer clock speeds.
We would have never even considered that a hard drive on a computer could be a gigabyte. That was just,
oh, no.
I
remember when the first megabyte hard drive came out. It was in a huge box, and it was $1,500.
Now a little thumb drive has 16 gig on it.
Yeah.
A little thumb drive.
And if you look at technology, I mean, when you stop and think about it, what we're buying on the common market, what you and I can buy to put on our desk that we can afford, it's 5 to 8 years behind what universities and the government are using.
Oh, it could be even farther behind than that.
It could actually be even farther behind. I mean, I remember when they were coming out with DVD read rights that – only certain companies could afford to buy because they were like $10,000-$15,000. But they held all this huge amount of information. And, you know, coming around the corner, you've seen these movies where they have the little tiny disc, but it holds terabytes of information. Those are right around the corner. Every 6 months, Sony breaks some other barrier. They find a way to get more space on a DVD. And now, they've been working on virtual reality. Here's another scary tech. because they were going to put virtual reality in schools because tests showed that kids learned 40 to 60% more faster than by conventional methods.
Sure, but I don't doubt that.
But the problem was a guy figured out, I can put certain little pieces of code in there and I can make it goes through the some part of the brain subconsciously, and suddenly I've got kids thinking the sky is orange and not blue.
Hmm.
And so that kind of died.
Mind control.
Yeah.
All right. Let me fire this clip up. I don't even know. This is another transhumanism clip. I'm just curious. I want to hear.
I love these people because everything hinges on this will work, but you have to listen to me.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Let's get into the big report, and I've already been leading up to this here, so this whole the last 20 minutes really just integrates in with this information. United Nations envisions transhumanist future where man is obsolete. And that's Aaron Dyke's article at Infowars.com. The Globalist Future 2045 International Congress, led by iconic futurist Ray Kurzweil, who says he wants world government, and held in Moscow a few months back, lays out stark vision of a future for neo-human where AI, cybernetics, nanotech, and other emerging technologies replace mankind, and openly transhumanist visions now being steered by the elite, but which emerge out of a Darwinistic circles directed by the likes of T.H. Huxley and his grandchildren, Julian, who coined the term transhumanism. As Aldous Huxley, author of Brave New World, resistance to this rapid shift in society, the 2045 conference argues, is nothing short of return to the Middle Ages. Now let's stop there. They frame the whole thing as if it's a foregone conclusion. They're offering you this heaven-like Valhalla that is a foregone conclusion that your brain will be transplanted in a machine and copies of it will be distributed out and death will be conquered and all of this is going to be wonderful, led by Ray Kurzweil, who says he's going to reanimate his father with the technology because he has a bunch of his father's belongings. Ain't going to happen, pal. And that he's going to live.
Okay. I just had to play that. This stuff is crazy, isn't it?
I really, really don't understand. These people have been unchallenged for so long that they now think that they can say and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And but it all comes back to one thing. It'll all work if you listen to me. If I'm in charge. And there's a lot of us that don't want to live forever. You know, think about this. If you're one of these people in life who just is snake bit, nothing goes right, you're always having to fight an uphill battle, but you always try to do what's right. At a certain point in your life, you're ready to say, okay, God, take me home. I'm done. I'm tired.
Sure.
Now, think about what they're saying. They can keep people alive forever. Let's just play on the premise they can do that. But under their forever, you are put into a position that you really don't like, you're not happy with, but you have to go to work every day and show up and do what they tell you to do in order to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can keep you alive for however long, and you're miserable. You know, to me, death is actually, okay, I win. I'm out of here. You guys are still jerks. I'm out of here. I don't have to play with you anymore. And, I mean, there's a reason that we are, in my mind, I've never understood why everything in the cosmos lasts for millions of years except for, like, human life or animal life. And it dawned on me one day, it's because apparently somebody, you know, biologists like to talk about how everything just came together. It just happened. Well, you know, stop and think about it. If that were the case, what is it that just happened that caused us to only live a finite amount of time? Because if people in charge lived forever and they knew they didn't have a finite amount of time, look how much more cruel they could be. If they had the ability to literally control a hive mind, think how cruel they would be.
Absolutely.
And we would actually take several steps back in evolution.
You know, speaking of taking several steps back in evolution, sometimes I think our whole society is in the process of devolving. I'm going to play a clip now, and this is the second man that was shot in Ferguson. And this was recorded, I believe, just on a cell phone. So,
Is this Ferguson?
Yeah, this is the second shooting in Ferguson.
Okay.
So listen to this. This is a shocker.
The police gonna pull up. You see, y'all call the police? He's bagging up. He got a gun out. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. They got their guns out. Oh my God. They just killed him. Oh, here we go again. They just killed this man. He's dead.
Look how they put up them muscles and everything already dead, man. That's fucked up, y'all.
They're putting him in cuffs. He's dead. Oh my God. They just killed this man. He didn't have a gun on him.
They cuffing him.
Now they cuffing him. He already dead. He already dead. Y'all see it for yourself. The man is already dead. They cuffing him. They cuffing him. I got everything on camera. From the time it started in everything. Oh my God. They just killed him, y'all. He's dead. This is just like, I don't even know what to do. Oh my God, he's still holding his gun out. The man is dead. They could have tased that man. They shot and killed that man.
They just shot this man for face.
Oh my God.
The motherfucking police.
This is crazy. I don't even know what to do.
Yep, got it.
Back up.
Anyway, Daryl, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to thank you for coming on the show this evening. It's been very fascinating. We'll have to do this again. Your comments, we've got about 5 minutes.
Well, I'm going to say this. Are there wrongful shootings in the United States? Yes, there are. But to me, it's a hypocrisy, because a lot of the evidence that I've seen, and I've looked at a lot of the stuff that's come in from Ferguson on the first shooting, and it's the attitude that we're seeing is it's not about justice, because nothing short of taking this police officer out, Wilson, onto the front steps and shooting him in the head is going to make anybody happy. They, you know, no matter what facts come out about it, that it doesn't matter. We want justice. We want him to go to jail. And I'm a firm believer, and I've grown up with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton in Atlanta, Louis Farrakhan. I've grown up around these people. I've driven ambulances behind their so-called peace marches and been and worked my butt off. Here's the thing. This is not about justice. This is about I want to be able to do what I want with impunity, and everybody better be afraid to say no. That's, in my opinion, that's exactly what this is all about. And I mean, for them to say, well, okay, we're, you know, instead of, you know, when O.J. was found innocent, oh, that was great. And I didn't think O.J. was innocent, but, you know, the courts found him innocent, so be it. Let it be. But in this case, they've already said, if the grand jury doesn't indict him, if he doesn't go to trial and get, you know, life in prison, we're going to make things even worse than they were the first time. What is that? That's a threat. They want people to cow down, lock this guy up, and then they can walk around saying, see, by God, they're scared of us. And I'm sorry, if you're from Ferguson, let me explain something to you. People outside of Ferguson are getting real tired of you, because we're looking at this and we're not seeing the same thing they are. So that's just my thing, and I think we're going to see, you know, there was no protest when the black cop shot the white kid in Iowa. So
I wonder if some group is trying to start a civil war in the United States.
Oh, I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you there are special interest groups in this country. And the cops have said come by 2015, and they've been saying this for like 10 years before I retired, that there's going to be a civil war by 2015, 2016 in this country that will make the first civil war look like a dispute in a sandbox. So
I've heard that from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
One of those sources.
There are people who think that they will benefit by this kind of interaction in this country. And I'll tell you who's probably funding a lot of it is probably ISIS.
ISIS?
Yeah.
Daryl, I've got a call. I got a call here. I'm going to let him come on here. I'm trying to close the show out, but let's get one call in here. It's sure, it's a question for you, Daryl. 804. Go ahead and answer the question.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I just want to add on, right, about Ferguson. It ain't the black people that is the problem. You know who the problem is, and you know who ISIS is. If ISIS is so much Muslims, why aren't they over in Israel helping the Palestinians? No, they want to terrorize America and Canada. We're not doing nothing to them people over here. Why don't they help their brothers over in Israel and Palestine? But you know what? Like the Jew said, bless the Jew and God will bless you. That's a lie. Bless the black man and God will bless you.
Let me stop you right there. I have to argue with you. Why does it have to be bless any one person? Why not just bless those of us who are trying to get along in this world?
Exactly. Exactly. But see, I just throw that in to make a small example. But black people don't do nothing to nobody. And you know what black people came out of. Some of us made it, and a lot of us didn't.
Well, you know, there's another – we could do a whole show on the misinformation of the black community. And I've seen Loretta Scott and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton whip entire black communities into a frenzy only to walk away and leave people looking dumb. I mean, look at the – let me just give you a blaring example. Look at the Tawana Brawley case.
Well, we know who back in Al Sharpton. We know who back in them type people. And you got black people who know this.
Yeah, and that's the funny part. And the media will not hear it.
And
the media doesn't want to listen to those people.
And see, the media is a threat. We're not going to get the truth through the media. But I'm saying, you know, it's a lot of good black people out here. They work hard. So
absolutely.
White people work hard. So we
absolutely.
Know and you know, the whole threat is the Jews. We know this. Now,
well,
I'm going to tell you, the only thing ISIS going to kill over here in America is our nature. They ain't coming over here. They're going to do a little sneak attack, but they ain't going to come up nobody's alley or up somebody's street because we waiting on their ass.
Now, hey, Mark, I'm staying with him. I'm with him. If ISIS wants to come over here and play, just come on.
Well, they said they're coming. But I'm telling you, the black man is not the threat. And all them black traders that are with that Zionist agenda, we know who they are, and we're going to get their ass.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, before you start looking too far, start looking closer to home. Because I'm telling you, there are some people up there in Ferguson, there have to be, that are inciting and keep inciting this. And I'm afraid people are going to get hurt up there.
Well, see, you know what? Whoever plays the fool needs that medicine. But I'm going to say this before I go. That's like the Jets that saved the day for Israel. Don't you know them Jets left the shores of America with an Israeli paint scheme on them? And see, this is another thing. The God of Israel did not bring white people over here. White people over here in America got another whole different God than Israel. The American, white American God is 50 billion times powerful than the God of Israel. And white America need to throw that Bible and Israel God in the trash and find your own God, which is within you. That's what's killing America. You got
Amen,
white people
brother.
In America. You got white people in America saying the hell with America. It's all about Israel. And that's crazy. That's bad.
You know, I truly believe if there was more people like you in the world, brother, we wouldn't have near the problems we got.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that for any race. I'm just saying you as a person. If we had more people like you who thought, who listened, we would have less problems.
But I'm going to say this. This is the very last thing. And this
Go
to
ahead.
White America. This to white America. Love your God and love your country. Leave that God of Israel alone. Because you have a special God and he did some special things. Look how young America is. Lead every other nation. But you won't throw all that in the trash for a God you don't even know nothing about.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks,
well,
see, America going to live. America going
to survive.
All that old, yeah, it going to live. It going to survive.
With folks like you and us running around, it'll survive.
Exactly.
Thank you, caller. Excellent call. I appreciate it.
Excellent call, yeah.
All righty. All right, Darryl, we'll have to do this again sometime, sir. My pleasure.
Absolutely would love to, sir. I didn't mean to bogart your show.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll talk next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.